Because in college, everyone scores. You're wired into the longest-running college fantasy football podcast in the country, Blitz Radio from Fantasy College Blitz. And now, the founder of Fantasy College Blitz, Vince Mullins.
How are you doing, you sick, twisted fantasy college football freaks? It's Vince Mullins and Drew Smith, Fantasy College Blitz. We're going to kind of break our usual angles here this week because, without question, whether you look at Google Trends, Yahoo Trends, whatever, it seems like there's a lot more interest in where all these conferences are going to shake out over the next 18 months, more so than what's going on the field. It's been that kind of year. So at this point, let me introduce the man who's been following a lot more than I have, and we'll actually come up with some different ideas, help throw into the pantheon of ideas here. Drew Smith, our fantasy CFO, our chief fantasy officer. How's it going, Drew?
There you go, Henny. How's it going, Vince?
I should know your title by now, for Christ's sake. So, you know, there's a lot of deep, politically slanted questions. There certainly are economic ramifications to the sport of college football, perhaps even the long-term viability of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. So I'll start off with the first question that's most important, Drew. What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking, actually, an Anderson Valley IPA.
You've been enjoying the pale ales lately.
I have. I'm definitely on a pale ale type of kick.
All right. I actually was going to kind of abstain for this evening's work, but then thinking back to last Friday night, I figured in your honor I would knock back some Bushmills and ginger.
Nice. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we did a really, really good job of helping out our local wing house, really rang up some good bar bills. By the way, on that note, did Mike ever pay his bar bill back?
I have no clue, and I'm not getting in the middle of that. So
then let's move on to the important questions that I prefaced and before I threw that curveball at our listeners. So, first off, if I may just clear my chest, I'm really tired of people calling this conference expansion because nothing's expanding. In fact, it's more like after a supernova, everything's collapsing in upon itself. It's conference consolidation. It is everyone circling the wagons. So can we call it conference consolidation, or is there a better word for it than expansion?
Well, you know, I think they both kind of apply because, you know, if a conference is going from 12 to 16, it's certainly expanding. However, you know, at the same time.
But it's a zero-sum game because the Mountain West and the WAC are getting bled like, you know, the victims of a vampire sling.
Right. So they kind of both apply, but I think expansion is a easier word for people to kind of grasp, you know, especially when you talk about all these super conferences that might be on the horizon.
Right, but you know, just because it's easier to grasp doesn't make it accurate. I mean, I think everybody who listens or reads our site by now knows we work in the finance industry. There are a lot of platitudes and things we can throw out to make them easier to understand, but they may not be accurate. So,
right.
It sounds like you're like me. You're expecting that we'll go from our current 12, conferences, actually, excuse me, 11 and independents. And then what do you think this is going to shake out to? Four with BCS ties, maybe, you know, four of 16?
Actually, I'm under the belief that the Big 12 is not going to go away at this point. I think that even if all of the great teams leave, Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma State, that the teams left behind will still try to keep the Big 12 going. And as the Big East proved, you can lose all your top talent. You can drop down to five, add a bunch of teams, and NCAA isn't going to go in and strip that BCS automatic bowl, BCS bowl right away from you. So you got a few years to kind of build that back up. And that's a scenario where you'll actually get, you know, quote unquote expansion, because if that plays out, then you could see the Big 12, the teams being left behind, going for a Houston, a BYU, mm-hmm. Maybe a UCF, those type teams that would then get your expansion going in that term.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the Big 12 right now is really what holds the key to, you know, how this is going to shape up. If Oklahoma bolts to the Pac-12 and they bring along Oklahoma State and Missouri.
Then you got the Pac-16.
Then what does Texas do? I think that Texas.
So you think they'll try to hold a Big 12-like thing together when they could probably exist? They could be one of the few programs, I think, that could exist independently and be successful.
They could, but there's still a risk associated with that. Why have the risk when you can still have – you have everything that you're going to get independent in the Big 12. They don't have revenue sharing. They have their Longwood network, TV. I mean, they have everything already in the Big 12, and that's kind of why everyone's kind of upset, is that, you know, Texas is not playing fair when it comes to the money. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see – I see Texas trying to make it work because they can always go independent if it doesn't.
Right. So this is just as simple as money, right? I mean, we're all keenly aware, some more than others, of how this global economic debt deflation is affecting everyone on a daily level. But now it seems that the college football world is circling the wagons and trying to find the strongest people to go into the bunker with you. Is it that simple? Is it just the money? Is there something else here that we're missing?
No, it's really just the money.
Yeah, it really is. Let's just get rid of all the extraneous shit and just say it is the money.
I mean, there's other things that play a factor, but those wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't matter that much if it wasn't for the money. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I think they're starting to more and more, but it's all about money. It's about TV contracts. It's about the, you know, what can they bring to the conference? Mm-hmm. And when you look at a team like Boise, to a lot of people, they say, well, that's no brainer. Add Boise to your conference. Pac-10, add Boise. It's not that simple.
Boise. Right. And Boise is something I'm really familiar with. If it were that simple, they would have already been in the Pac-10, you know, instead of going the Mountain West. For, you know, the Pac-10/12 reached out for Utah, and they made that work. I thought it was curious that they selected Utah instead of Boise, but Boise obviously has some other plans.
Well, I don't think that Boise brings much to a conference besides a great winning tradition.
That's all?
Yeah. That's all they bring. And when it comes right down to it, they're looking for impact into a market. They're looking for, you know, what will help their get a bigger TV contract. And when you look at programs like Boise, ECU is another program that has a great tradition, that has great support, but these conferences aren't interested in their schools, and they don't really have much of a chance. In fact, the only way that I see Boise getting into an automatic qualifying conference is in the scenario that I kind of alluded to earlier, was if the Big 12 is just left with a few teams, what they're going to need to do at that point, very similar to what the Big East did with TCU, is they have to look at building up their conference with good football teams to keep their automatic qualifying title. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, the Big 12 then absolutely would sacrifice on the TV contract and the market of Boise, Utah, or Idaho, Boise, Idaho, to try to build up their power as far as on the football to keep that automatic qualifier. So if that happens, then Boise then has a chance. They'll be their only chance. Also, they'll be looking for all the top teams. I think Houston, SMU, UCF, these teams would all be in play because they need to keep that automatic qualifying title.
Drew Smith and Vince Mullins here, Fantasy College Blitz. We're trying to throw some ideas out here about the inevitable conference consolidation / expansion, et cetera. So one thing I just thought of doing with you, Drew, is maybe going, you know, a conference by conference. And just thinking about if you can go into, you know, where, if you were to join Sherman and go into the Wayback Machine, maybe if you dialed it forward into the Way Forward Machine. You think anybody got that cartoon reference?
I didn't, so.
Well, do you remember Sherman and what's the name of the dog? Anyways, you don't remember the Wayback Machine from the cartoons?
No, sorry.
All right, moving on. So anyways, let's just say we just stepped out of a time machine. It's 2014. Does the Western Athletic Conference still exist?
Yeah, I think they do. They're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to all of a sudden go back to Division II, so or Division or whatever, bowl championships, subdivision or whatever they call it these days. No, they're going to still be around. Absolutely.
Right, because, you know, they are expanding because they're bringing on board Texas San Antonio and Texas State next year.
Right.
They're both of those schools are in that provisional status. I guess by definition, they are FBS, but you know that's certainly not on anybody's radar screen this year. I'm of the opinion that conference just breaks up. I mean, if there's some quality programs there, and there's some up and coming programs, I think that would make other schools in like Hawaii. I mean, that seems like a lock for the Pac-12. Hell, they're in the middle of the Pacific. Nevada as well. Utah State maybe not. New Mexico State maybe not. But Fresno. I mean, I just don't see how the Western Athletic Conference continues if they think they can. I don't see them being financially viable when they bring in two new schools that have only been playing 5 years in a row.
I mean, if the Sun Belt can be viable financially, then why can't the WAC?
Well, that was my next question. Do you think – I mean, the Sun Belt right now has never had an automatic qualifier, obviously. They have never had a team short of Troy even being anywhere near the epicenter, anywhere near the conversation of being in one of the big bowls. So can the Sun Belt exist as kind of that – continue to go as a little brother in this situation? If there's 16 powerful teams out in the West, and if there's a Big Ten and an SEC that own everything east of the Mississippi?
Yeah, I mean, these teams, these conferences, just like the MAC has been around forever, and they barely get 8,000 people to show up to any of their games.
That's only Eastern Michigan.
and Kent and some others.
Hometown.
But the point is that, yeah, these conferences aren't going to go away. I don't see any of those programs in the next 5 to 10 years being that attractive to anyone. Even in the WAC, you take a Fresno, they're not going to be interested. The Pac-10's not going to be interested in them or Pac-12, because they don't bring anything. They already have California. They don't bring in a market. They don't bring anything to the table. These conferences are throwing out geographic location because they want new markets. That's why the Big 12 was not interested in TCU, but the Big East was. That's why the Big East wanted USF when they expanded, because they wanted the Florida market. These schools and these conferences, they're not going to go away, but at the same time, I don't really see them being that much of a shakeup.
So you kind of covered the MAC, and yeah, they can probably exist. If the Sun Belt exists, the MAC can exist because they've been around for 70 years. So, but you mentioned the Big 12. How much all this current just shaking out, and you got two teams leaving last year. Now you've got instead of Texas leading Oklahoma out the door, you got Oklahoma leading Texas out the door. I mean, how much of this is really driven by the idea that there's not equal revenue sharing as there are in many other conferences? I mean, Texas gets a lion's share of the Big 12 conference revenue.
I mean, that's exactly the reason why you're seeing this. Colorado and Nebraska left because of that. Texas A&M, they're in the same state, and they don't feel like they're being treated equal. There's money to be had, and if Texas isn't willing to share, these schools are showing that they can go somewhere else and get the same money or the same type of fairness. The interesting thing that you haven't alluded to, which is kind of surprising, being a Florida guy, I'll kind of shift gears here, is who's the 14th team for the SEC?
I'm sure there's a big line forming.
Well, the thing is the interesting thing about it is that apparently the existing schools are, throwing their weight around, saying they don't want to add another school that's in their state. Florida doesn't want FSU. Georgia doesn't want Georgia Tech. South Carolina doesn't want Clemson. Kentucky doesn't want Louisville, even though you can make an argument that they don't have much weight to throw around.
they sure did against Western Kentucky this past week.
Right. So, and it seems, based on if you read about it, that the SEC is actually kind of honoring that, and they're not looking at their schools. So if you throw those schools out, then what other schools make sense? I think North Carolina makes sense to the SEC, but they're never going to leave the ACC. They helped form it. They have that whole Wake Forest and NC State and Duke rivalry. They're not leaving. The next team that makes sense would be Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, Virginia made such a huge stink to basically force the ACC to take them. you know, and Virginia Tech has shown that loyalty, and they've come out numerous times saying they're not interested in the SEC. All right, well, now who's left?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been reading a lot about West Virginia. I don't know if you've been to Morgantown, but...
Not a big town.
Not a big town. I really don't see how that would make sense to the SEC, you know, trying to get a footprint into West Virginia. That doesn't sound that appealing. And if you really understand things, Pitt is like 60 miles away from Morgantown. In fact, I don't even think Morgantown has an airport. I think you have to fly into Pittsburgh if you want to go there. So why wouldn't they just go for Pittsburgh if they were going to go for West Virginia?
Especially with Pittsburgh having such a pretty rich football tradition, not just collegiately but also professionally. West Virginia, you're right. It's a program we all know because they've been successful. But, you know, that is a beaten-up area. Unless coal and energy become the sectors of the next decade, I don't even think there's a lot of economic impact there from West Virginia. So, you know, kind of tying Big East back to Big 12, you know, with Big East only having 8 teams, my thoughts were, if the Big 12 continues to shrink like it is, does it still get a BCS bid? But I guess if the Big East with 8 can, the big whatever it is, the Big 8 can still get a BCS bid, right?
Yep. And that's why I think they're going to be going for. I think, you know, they're not going to try to merge with Conference USA and Mountain West to form some new conference, because then they have to go through the process of getting that automatic qualifying bid. Whereas if they just stay in the Big 12 and expand, well, they already have it, and they're going to say, okay, take it away from me. And they've already proven that they're not in a big hurry to take things away. If they didn't do it to the Big East, why would they do it to the Big whatever, 12?
Big 8. At least that has some historical reference to the Big 8.
Right.
So,
and then, I'm sorry to just kind of finish this thought here. Well, from what I've been reading and from what I've been understanding, is Pitt's not that interested in the SEC. They really like the Big East, the basketball tradition. Pitt's a big basketball school. They're not really that interested, and they may use the SEC as leverage to kind of force the Big East to address their issue in football. So I'm interested to see how that plays out and see if Pitt kind of lets the media run a little bit with the idea of them being the 14th team to try to, you know, use that as leverage to see what the Big East can do, because they've been kind of reluctant to expand because they don't want to upset the basketball schools and that whole balance, and that whole conference is a mess in itself. And the interesting thing about the Big East also is they made a huge gamble this offseason. ESPN came to them. It wasn't a Pac-12 type offer, but it was certainly a very strong offer to them for their TV contract that was coming up, that's expiring this year, but they were negotiating a year in advance. And the Big East turned it down, and they didn't expand. And I think they're gambling that there's going to be this big shakeup, and they're hoping that they're going to be able to get some of these teams in the Big 12 if it blows up, you know, to try to get a Missouri and a Kansas State, because adding those schools are certainly going to help your only improve your TV contract over, you know, pulling up a Villanova or, adding a team like UCF. While I can certainly make an argument that UCF is a great addition to any big school for all the economic reasons, the facts remain that perception-wise, adding a Missouri or a Kansas is going to go a lot farther along than adding UCF.
And again, you brought up a good point I wish I would have thought of in the middle or in the beginning, is that, we're college football fans. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a college football fan, but that's just a part of this whole business. You know, basketball is a nice revenue producer as well, especially in the Big East. Yeah, I would even argue even more in the Big East. So, yes, there's a lot of ties there that need to be addressed. Go ahead.
I keep interrupting you, but I have all these thoughts running in my head. And talk about other things. The Big Ten, big thing with them is academics. They're just not going to get teams to sign off on adding a school that does not have great academics, or at least the perception of great academics. So all this super conference stuff, well, who is the Big Ten going to go after if they're going to expand?
Notre Dame? That's a name I've been trying to – I wanted to kind of shoehorn in here. Where does Notre Dame fit in all this?
Notre Dame can go anywhere they want.
Or nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've they don't have to go anywhere, and they refused so far to give in to the pressures of joining a conference. It'd be interesting to see if it really shifts to a super conference type of world that we live in. A lot of people speculate that that will have to lead to a playoff system, which I'm not necessarily sure that anything has to lead to a playoff system, but will Notre Dame feel like they have to join one of these conferences to be able to participate, in where college football is going? And if they do, what will be the best fit for them? Obviously, they're in all their other sports are in the Big East, but I think that they would probably feel like they're a better fit for the Big Ten. So I'm not sure about that. Following the, getting back to the SEC, what if Pitt is just using that as leverage, and they're not interested? No, if we've just eliminated every team pretty much on the East, would they take two teams in the West? I don't think that's really what they want to do. Do they consider a team like Rutgers to try to get into the New Jersey, New York market? That seems pretty far fetched from the Southeast.
Big East has them.
Right, the Big East does, but does a Southeast conference really want to go all the way up to New Jersey, New York? I don't know.
It's not so south.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think we've learned to ignore the titles of these conferences.
Yeah. I think ultimately, if that all plays out, like I said, and all those teams say no, they're pretty much going to have to go back to the existing teams and say, hey, I know you don't want another school another school from your state, but we have to think about what's best for the conference as a whole. So one of you guys is just going to have to bite the bullet. And then if that happens, I think a team like Clemson, maybe FSU, and I don't know, maybe Louisville, because Kentucky would have the least amount of weight to throw around. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. They may decide just go to West and add Missouri and let it shake out that way or something like, or maybe, I think Oklahoma seems like they're looking more West than East. So that'd be, it's all interesting to me. I find this fascinating. not more than you, I think, from talking, because you're kind of more of a, I'm tired of hearing about it all. I'll just wait.
I think it's fascinating, but it's a question of what do you focus on. And I'm much more interested. My interest in football is so much more on the tactical side of what goes on the field, celebrating excellence of what these kids are doing, while they're in college. Whether they're amateur or not. I mean, just celebrating their athletic accomplishments and their leadership and the team abilities. And that's what I like most about college football. What I find that this whole conference thing distracts me from, it just distracts me from that. Now, granted, I'm as pro-business as anybody you're going to run into. I'm as libertarian as probably most people, that you could probably follow in the internets. But I don't want to hear about that right now. I want to focus on the art of football. And I think if you want to be a successful fantasy player, I think that this conference realignment distracts you from focusing on the games. That's just me.
You might be right, as I had a very horrible week one performance.
Because you were so busy tracking down what Texas A&M wanted to do, you forgot to start the Cal running back or something.
Right. I think that for me, being a UCF alumni, I have a obviously I'm very interested in how this shakes out, because I've been desperately wanting UCF to have an opportunity to be in one of these conferences. So I think I have a little more at stake than maybe you in that regard. But then you also bring a valid point that it's not really going to make a difference. It's going to shake out how it shakes out, and the focusing on really the bad part of college football, which is the money aspect.
It's not bad. It's just what it is. But
you can make an argument. It's kind of bad. I mean, look at all the corruption, everything. This is everything that's been in the news this past year has all been about money and nothing about college athletics.
All right, we might need to do another podcast. In fact, I'm going to retitle this one when I post it. It's only corrupt because of the crazy definitions that we all want to put on top of college football and all amateur sports. Now, granted, Nevin Shapiro was a fraudster. He is in jail for running a huge Ponzi scheme. That is illegal. I'm not saying anything, but that is illegal. But I don't understand why the amount of time and money spent trying to figure out if kids are using cream cheese on their bagel or whether or not they're getting improper benefits like, you know, getting an extra bite to eat or maybe even as simple as hanging out in a VIP room. I get it. But why do we care? I mean, why the whole idea, the reason there's been all this hubbub is because we're holding these kids these ridiculously high expectations we don't even have for ourselves. You know, sure. Let them play. Let boosters do what they want to do. If Arkansas State can't compete with a bull hog, you know, guy in Arkansas, yeah, that's unfortunate. But that's kind of why the world works outside of this era of, you know, college football. Let them play. Let the market determine what schools are going to be best. You know, I don't care if the Sun Belt stays in the FBS. I really don't. I like watching small college football. But if they can't compete at the highest level, then that's fine. That's what Darwin kind of outlined for us 150 years ago, right?
Yeah, and I
went on a rant there. Let me step off my soapbox. Sorry.
You did go on a little rant, but I wonder if we do end up in an environment where we have five super conferences and – I mean, do you at that time all of a sudden let a team that runs a table in the Sun Belt get to play, you know, in a championship game or a huge in the Orange Bowl or something like that?
That's going to be the trick because the way the NCAA is currently right now set up, I don't know how in the world that stands legally where the Sun Belt and the MAC don't get access to these top end bowls for being conference title winners. If we get fewer and fewer conferences, I just see the legal standing or the facade of why the Sun Belt and the MAC don't push for this more continuing to erode. I don't think the NCAA is going to exist between now and 2020. I think it's going to disappear.
They need to.
Right. Well, I mean, but it's going to be replaced by, I think, you know, cabal. I mean, hey, the word I'm thinking of is cabals of these conferences, you know, and they're all going to exist for their own personal interests and, you know, short of bringing the finest meats, cheeses, and hookers to on the recruiting trail, I think it'll all play out just fine. I think these conferences can exist without an NCAA trying to tie it all together.
I mean, why couldn't if we have five super conferences of 16 teams, that's 80 teams, why couldn't they just, and there's no NCAA because it goes away, why couldn't they just do their own thing? Or form their own level of college football.
I think we're going to find out because, like the Securities and Exchange Commission, the NCAA's what the work they do is toothless. There really is very little that they've shown repeatedly that they're not on the ball. Even when they uncover things like what's going on at Miami, it takes months for them to actually come out with something that is actually that the schools can actually feel comfortable following as far as edicts. There's no there. And I think once, as money becomes harder and harder to find, and I just don't see the NCAA even existing. It doesn't have to. It's kind of there like the education department of the federal government. It doesn't have to exist. You know, the states are doing some states are doing well, some aren't. If they don't do well, people will move from that state to another one. You know, competition will work its way out. And I don't think that leaves the NCAA any room to exist beyond the next 10 years.
I tend to agree with you.
And that is not fueled by Bushmills. I've had that thought for a long time. I just, you know, we've been talking fantasy for a while, and now we're throwing out this political and economic stuff, and that's kind of my wheelhouse. I just don't see a way that exists. You know, I just see a lot of cabals, and I see a lot of circling wagons, and a lot of small conferences falling by the wayside. I don't think the WAC will exist after 5 years from now. They won't exist.
Well, they have to go somewhere. Those schools, if they're all staying in the same level, they all
schools
be independent.
Will go somewhere. But the WAC won't exist. There won't be a need because I think Hawaii has some interest for the Pacific, whatever number they end up being. So does Fresno. I understand what you're saying that they've already got California covered, and frankly. Fresno State is Northern California, highly agricultural, not a lot of money there. I get that. But, you know, the Western Athletic Conference opened week one with one win.
Right.
They exist right now as lambs to be led to slaughter in September, and then they let themselves play among themselves. Ever since, you know, once TCU once Boise left, I think that was the end of the WAC.
So let me ask you this. What's the last FBS school to go away and stop being an FBS school on playing football?
So let me just make sure I understand that. So what is the most – you're asking me, what do I think is the most successful program that will end up leaving the bowl subdivision?
My point is you say the WAC's not going to exist, but mm-hmm. I'm saying where are these schools going to go? They're not going to not be FBS schools.
I think Utah State, New Mexico State would no longer be FBS under the current definition. And remember, these definitions aren't set by the NCAA.
Right.
They're set by the BCS commission or whatever the proper phrase is. Idaho, I think they go FCS. Louisiana Tech does not exist in the upper division. I don't see if San Jose State begins to exist. You know, all that leaves is Fresno, Nevada, and Hawaii. That's all it leaves. And I think that Nevada and even UNLV probably has some interest in these big conferences because of their money centers that they have in the gambling industry. I think everybody else probably goes down a notch. They get demoted, kind of like they left the Premier League.
See, I'm thinking my thought is not so much – it's all semantics. I don't think they're going to be demoted. I just think these other schools are going to, like, create another level, and these schools are not going to get the move up to that level. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that in a sense is being demoted, like I said, semantics. So, yeah, I can see what you're saying. And I think that pretty much all the MAC schools are going to fall in that category. I don't see any of those schools having any interest to any of the bigger conferences. Mm-hmm. I can say the same for the WAC. You do bring a point. Fresno, Hawaii, Idaho, not Idaho, Nevada. All the Sun Belt teams, I think, will stay. So, yeah, I think most of those schools, there's not a lot of schools that are not in the big conferences that have interest. I think a lot of those lie in the Conference USA in the Mountain West. The Air Force, Boise, obviously, UNLV, like you mentioned. These are schools that would have interest. Houston.
You know who else I think disappears from Fantasy Bowl subdivision? Vanderbilt.
I wish. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. They've got a tremendous academic record, and that's great. But for the purposes of these conferences, in the world I'm foreseeing, that doesn't really matter in these athletic conferences. Now, Kentucky, because of their basketball program, I think still exists. But I see the Southeastern Conference. I don't see a need for Vanderbilt to exist in its future form. You know, so they pick up a UCF. That would be kind of crazy, but it's a huge school, and it's in a top 30 media market. I think that's a very compelling ad for the Southeastern Conference if they want to have but like you said earlier, maybe Florida wants to kind of really tighten up the Florida realm, but I think the bigger point will be made that there's a, you know, yes, Gators, you've got fans all over Florida, but that doesn't mean we can't add somebody a little farther south than you.
I think an interesting kind of thought with that is, what if the SEC added FSU?
Mm-hmm.
I think that all of a sudden,
great,
the ACC would seriously consider UCF, because I don't believe that Miami holds the state of Florida. As someone that's grown up in Florida in my entire life and grew up in South Florida and Central Florida, I can tell you that people don't care about the hurricanes outside of South Florida.
There's a few of them, but they're holding on to a program that really existed 10 years ago. Not all that different from a Notre Dame fan.
There was a poll that came out recently that said, "What school are you interested in?" And they polled, the state of Florida, and Miami came in fourth. They came in behind UCF because UCF is such a large school. They have so many alumni. Throughout the state of Florida, there's UCF fans, but Miami doesn't have a large alumni base. So most of their fans are local fans. So you don't see a lot of Miami Hurricane fans in Orlando or Gainesville or Tallahassee, Jacksonville. So if FSU left the ACC, there'd be a huge hole, I think, in the state of Florida for the ACC, and that's something that either South Florida, University of South Florida, or Central Florida can fill. But with FSU in the ACC and Miami, I don't see either one of those schools getting much consideration for the ACC, because FSU can hold down Florida with Miami.
So what did we miss?
I don't know. I think we covered pretty much everything.
Hell, we talked about Sun Belt and MAC for a while. I think we covered it all.
Yeah,
and exactly. I got to rant a little bit about what I expect to see over the next 5 years. That felt good. It was cathartic.
One other thought, I guess I would mention.
I knew it. That's why I asked.
Is the fact that the Big 12, it seems like their number one choice to replace Texas A&M if the schools stay, and even if they don't, I imagine. But their number one choice is BYU. And a lot of people might say, well, that, you know, I understand BYU is a good football team, but why, you know, they don't seem to fit into your argument that about TV market and things like that. And BYU is kind of like Notre Dame. Catholics are across the country tend to like Notre Dame, whether it's their favorite team or not. They still kind of feel a little drawn towards them.
One of my best friends when I was younger was a Jehovah's Witness who was an unapologetic Notre Dame fan. I never really pushed him on that. But
well, the same thing applies with BYU. They have fans across the country. It's not just isolated to Provo, Utah. They have Mormons throughout that support BYU, and that's one of the reasons why, like Notre Dame, they feel they can be successful in, going the independent route because of that wide range of support. So, you know, for a conference that's looking to kind of rebuild, BYU is a very attractive school. But then you say, okay, BYU and Baylor in the same conference? But that's kind of getting off topic to religious aspects of things.
That make for a great holy war.
Yes.
You know, not all that different than when San Jose or Michigan State plays USC. You got the Spartans against the Trojans. It's a replay of the Peloponnesian War. I'll have so many more historical war references I can make if those two get to play each other more often. That'd be great. And then we even touched on the service academies, but we got to shut this down, man. We've been talking about conference, whatever it's called, for 30 minutes now.
I know, and you want to keep this to 15, but
no, I didn't. Yeah, that was my wish and you know, real dream, but it really wasn't going to happen. I knew that.
Right. Yeah, the service academies. They just to touch on real quick, because you brought them up, and I'm sure our fans, our listeners, are certainly.
I am not bringing up anything else after this.
The service academies are interesting, I think, because people like them. They're, you know, I personally, I don't think they are that interesting. I don't really care about Army football that much, other than their fullback for fantasy purposes.
Hell, but, he did week one anyway.
But no, the conferences tend to like them. You always hear about, you know, Navy and Air Force and Army as being in the mix of being added. I've heard it for the Big East. I've heard it for the Big 12 if they're interested in Air Force. And I think that probably because of the kind of
cachet.
Same thing. The same thing with BYU, how they have a wide fan appeal across the country. And I imagine the Service Academy has the same thing. And it would be – I think it would be kind of cool if those schools ever got to be powerhouses like they were back in the day. Mm-hmm. And you actually had some rivalry going between, you know, folks from the Navy and folks from Army. Can you imagine coming to work and, you know, you have Army people talking smack to the Navy people? I don't know. I think that would be kind of cool. So maybe I shouldn't bash on them too much.
No, you're right. And, you know, in the whole idea of amateur athletics, there's a role for those service academies. But even in this future world where, everybody, you know, money is tight and everyone's kind of banding together and forming their own gangs, you know, I think you want to have somebody from the National Defense System on your side too, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, come to our conference. If not, we've got some guys that are going to be future CIA that we can send at you. How's that feel?
Right. Maybe Texas wouldn't be such bullies if they had Air Force or Army or Navy in the conference.
Perhaps. Can I wrap it up now?
We can.
Excellent. I want to thank all of you for listening because, you know, Drew and I are committed to college football in a way that we could really care less about the Republican presidential debate that's going on as we're speaking. So on that note, Drew, our chief fantasy officer, Vince, the founder. I need a new role, but you know, founder just makes it sound like we're a little shop in the office. Maybe I need to be lead fantasy college football analyst or something.
I like that.
Chief fantasy officer Drew Smith and your humble senior college football analyst Vince Mullins on the Fantasy College Blitz podcast. We're going to sign off, and we will check in with you soon, getting ready for week 2. Thanks for sticking with us.
Thanks, Vince.